Millie Coulter from the British Heart Foundation, welcome to Susie 103.4.
Hello, it's lovely to be here.
Well, it's charming to have you here as well, and I know that you've got something really important in the immediate future to talk to us about, but you're going to stick around and be my co-pilot for the whole show, aren't you?
Oh, most definitely, looking forward to it.
Well, you may even prevent me from pushing a few wrong buttons as time goes by. We'll just have to see how it goes, but British Heart Foundation, so let's talk about the event to start with, and then we can talk about it again in the second half of the show when everybody's come home from school, etc., etc. So what's your primary purpose here this afternoon, Millie?
So we've got a Christmas collection happening at the Priory Farm Nursery Garden Centre next Saturday. So we're hoping to raise lots and lots of money there, but we're also looking for some volunteers. So if anyone's listening and would like to volunteer, then obviously I'd be more than happy for them to get in touch, and we'd love to have you along.
Okay, let's just tie you down on those details again, because the food festival at the farm shop is Saturday this week.
Yes.
And your event is at the garden centre on Saturday week, that's the 1st of December.
That is right, yeah.
Right you are. And you're looking for, I suppose, tin rattlers, essentially.
Essentially, yes. I'm hoping that it's going to be really, really fun and festive and get everybody into the Christmas spirit. I need to go out and get some Santa hats and some tinsel to put on the buckets. But it's also just to get a chance to talk to people in the local area, and if anyone wanted to volunteer, you know, they'd be more than happy. I'd be more than welcome for them to have a chat with me about how they can get involved going forward, and also about the work that the BHF does as well.
Well, we can discuss the BHF's work, I'm sure, later on in the show. Definitely. We've got plenty of time to chat this afternoon, and so there is a possibility for anybody who wants to come and shake a tin, also to get more involved with the foundation as time goes on.
Yes, most definitely. We're always looking for volunteers, and there's loads of different ways to get involved as well. Not just shaking buckets, but you know, they can be part of a fundraising group. We've got three of those in Surrey, one in Guildford, one in Camberley, and one in the North Surrey area.
And North Surrey means effectively
Cobham, Weybridge, that sort of way.
So you're not really talking Redhill, Reigate, Hawley and Crawley?
Not at the moment, but we are hoping that to have a fundraising group in this area, that's sort of where we're looking to go with it. So if anyone's interested.
And you yourself are Tadworth based, so
I am,
you would be able to be in close touch with that.
Yes, most definitely. I'm always on hand to support people who are keen to get involved. So
okay, well let's talk a little bit about the possibilities for assistance and involvement in those groups when we next speak, because I've got one or two other bits and bobs I've got to do this afternoon, and you've already come to understand that we've got little Jim, little white Westie from Langley Green in Crawley on at 2:30, and that'll be a bit of fun, but we'll have another chat before little Jim comes up. So let's just repeat those details again. Saturday week.
Yep, 1st of December.
And it's in the Garden Centre.
Yep.
And did you tell me there's going to be some late opening there on that day?
There is. Although we might not stay right in through to 8 p.m. on a Saturday, there is going to be a late night shopping event. So, I mean, even if you're not coming to support the BHF, feel free to go along and get some Christmas presents in the bag, maybe when it's not quite so busy as well.
We've touched on the event.
Yep.
Let's touch briefly on those three groups that you've already got in Surrey, and the potential for a fourth one to be created here, Redhill, Reigate, Hawley and Crawley, and what those groups get up to.
So they get up to kind of whatever they would like to in terms of fundraising. So they're all quite different. The Camberley group has an annual swim that they do every year in March, and they sort of go around local schools and businesses, and it's a sponsored swim, and that usually raises around about £8,000, which is just incredible. The Guildford group are very active throughout the year. They do lots of different bits and pieces, coffee mornings, cake sales, Christmas fairs, that sort of thing. And North Surrey, again, are very different. The next couple of events that they've got a music evening coming up in a couple of weekends' time. And then next year, they're hoping to do a fashion show and sort of a big dinner event as well. So it's really nice to see the variety, and we're really open to sort of new ideas and how to support people that would like to fundraise for us.
Okay, well, I mean, all sorts of events pass through our hands. The Children's Trust up at Tadworth near you have done their first fire walk recently.
Yeah, yeah.
The Old Reigation Rugby Club, where I'm a little bit involved, do a fire walk, and there's been another one in Crawley, I think. So there are all manner of things that that can be done, and we'll have to compare notes off air about that.
Yeah,
have you
definitely.
Got any secret longings for fundraising events that haven't happened yet?
Oh, I quite like the idea of having a film night somewhere, maybe either in conjunction with cinemas or, you know, local venues. No one's necessarily done that. Guildford get the closest by hosting a sort of a collection at the Lido, but the Lido put on the film night. So I'd love to see that happening, but really anything. I'm really open to see what people can come up with, because actually our supporters usually come up with more inventive ideas than we do, which is just brilliant.
Okay, I suppose after that wonderful summer, which I said yesterday only seems to have finished last week, after that wonderful summer and the increasing popularity of outdoor film shows,
yeah.
then maybe we could put you in touch with one of the local sports clubs. If one of our cricket clubs from On the Front Foot is listening, maybe you could tie up with Millie next year and do an open-air fundraising film show.
Yeah, that'd be great.
How did you go about getting into fundraising? Let's backtrack, sort of A-level university, and take it through to fundraising.
Well, surprisingly, by my accent, you wouldn't actually believe it, but I didn't actually take A-levels. I took highers because I grew up in Scotland, which is the sort of A-level equivalent. Grew up in Scotland, and then when I went to university, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, which I think is probably like most people going to university at the age of 18. So I studied history and economic and social history just because I was interested in it. And in my final year, I volunteered for a Scottish charity called Quarriers and did some events and some fundraising for them. And it was really just from there. I was really lucky with my supervisor. She at Quarriers, she sort of introduced me to how you could actually work for a charity professionally, which I didn't realise you could do. And then I just started applying for jobs. And I started at a role in London at a charity called Hestia. And then I moved on to Muscular Dystrophy UK. And then finally came to British Heart Foundation, which is obviously where I am now.
So what does Hestia get up to?
Hestia deals with sort of domestic abuse, human trafficking, mental health issues, so quite different to what I'm doing now.
Are you exposed much to that while you're fundraising?
Part some and some. They liked to you to sort of see where the money was going that you were raising. So I did visit a couple of women's refuges and met some people, which was actually a really lovely experience. And it does sort of hit home as to why you're raising the money.
It must be quite tough when you're a recent graduate and all, and just starting out. Yeah,
I mean, hard topic. And, you know, when there's kids involved as well, that was when it was even harder. But it did make it seem like what you were doing even more worthwhile that way. And then when I moved to Muscular Dystrophy UK, it's a medical research charity for the rare condition that is muscular dystrophy. And I was there for nearly 2 years. So I learned a lot about that and met some really amazing families and people that live with the condition every day. And then obviously at BHF, the same thing. You're meeting people all the time that, you know, are living with heart conditions. And
there's not a theoretical limit, is there, in the real world to human resilience? It's more to do with character than
most definitely.
Than any sort of inborn resilience. So you've been involved in two principally medical charities.
Yes.
Now on the fundraising side. Before we come on to the BHF where you are now, is there any programme of qualification in fundraising?
You can get qualifications from the Institute of Fundraising, so they offer qualifications throughout the year of different levels. I have never done one of those. My degree has sort of got me through, plus the experience that you gain while you're on the job, which I think is actually one of the most important things to do to get into fundraising, is to get that experience through, whether it's volunteering or, you know, in other ways. I mean, even just doing a customer service job is actually really crucial to being in fundraising, because at the same you are trying to, you know, communicate with people all the time, so that gives you a good base. But yeah, no, I've never embarked. I still feel like I've only just come out of university, which is why I don't want to go back to doing any book work, but it feels a lot closer than it actually is.
maybe it's not the way up the ladder any longer. Mm. You need to have an armful of qualifications to break down the door almost anywhere, don't you? But you've made your way on experience and clearly on competence, and your position with the BHF is now a relatively senior managerial post.
It's a fundraising manager, so I look after Surrey. So all the fundraising that happens in terms of in the community and the groups that I was speaking about earlier, I look after them and make sure that they're happy and get all the advice and support that they need from us.
Is that pretty much a matter of remote and electronic management, or do you do a lot of visiting and hands-on?
A lot of visiting. I'm out and about quite a lot. Not a week goes by where, you know, usually I'm in the office maybe once a week for the whole day, and other times I'll be maybe out for the morning, out for the afternoon, and doing a variety of different things as well. It's really interesting. No day is the same, but you get to meet some really amazing people along the way, and they're more than happy to share their story, which is a massive part of the job for me.
Can you call to mind anybody amazing you've met recently, present company excluded?
I did meet a young man a couple of months ago who had had a heart operation, and he was only 29, and his resilience was just really incredible. That was, you know, having to deal with something quite young, and it was a decision that he had to make. That was really incredible. But everybody has their own story to tell, and they all have a worth at the organisation.
Absolutely, but it's the brave who make the lasting impression. There's still something about courage, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's fascinating to me, given my own background, Millie, that resilience is now a subject that's actually tabled on school curricula. Mm. I find that almost beyond belief, because on the other side of the coin, we're told that, you know, you mustn't be British, stiff upper lip, roll up your sleeves and get on with it, and yet now we're having to teach resilience. That's a conundrum to me. But,
yeah.
But of course, there are times when it's impossible to be resilient, when you are suffering from a serious illness, and that's where the BHF, among many others, comes in. So let's just embark for about the next minute or so on talking a little bit about the British Heart Foundation as a whole.
Yeah, so the British Heart Foundation, they fund research into heart and circulatory conditions, and also the factors that sort of contribute to these. So it's not just heart conditions. We see it as a whole system. So it's heart conditions, vascular dementia, stroke, and then their risk factor, which is diabetes, and amongst others. So we're undertaking that research to help find out more about these conditions, see whether there's treatments and cures available. And, you know, that is really, really important. It's one of the it's the main thing that the BHF does. That's what we raise money for. But on the flip side of that, we also have our heart helpline, which is run by cardiac nurses. So for any patients or families that want to get in touch and find out some more information, then they can do that as well.
So it's quite a broad front, really, and maybe we'll have time in the second hour just to dwell on some of those conditions you've just outlined.
Yeah, most definitely.
And certainly talk about the money that you're in the process of raising, and how much, and indeed how it's distributed. And Millie, I thought we could talk a little bit more now about the more general aspects of the British Heart Foundation, where they're based, what they get up to, what your sort of fundraising turnover is, those sorts of things.
Yeah, so the head office is in London, near to Camden, near Mornington Crescent tube station, and I mean, the fundraising that we do contributes to all the research that we fund, and we are aiming every year to fund over £100 million pounds of research every single year. So, and that all comes from fundraised income as well. So that's everybody out there doing events for us, taking on London Marathon, but also from our shops as well. So we have a network of over 730 shops around the whole of the UK. And of course, there's volunteering opportunities there, I won't hesitate to add. And they also, you know, contribute massively to this income as well. The BHF just does really amazing work. Obviously, I'm slightly biased, but, you know, that's okay. Into research, just the dedication that we have to make sure that we're funding the best research to get the best outcome for patients and families across the whole of the UK. We really don't want people to die prematurely from these conditions, and and you know, our aim, as many of you might have seen on our most recent TV advert, is to beat heartbreak forever, and that's for the people that are suffering from these conditions, but also for their families and loved ones around them.
To what extent are you managed in your role, Millie, and to what extent can you be independent? I believe you work from home.
Yes, I do work from home. We obviously do have management, and they support us with the activities that we take, but we decide our own schedules. We go out and meet who we think that, you know, are worthwhile to meet, and that's what we mean in terms of we hear loads of stories, because we have that freedom to go and say hello and catch up with people over a cup of coffee, and just listen to them, really, and get a feel for them and see what they want to do to help us, and we can guide them in the right direction, whether it be with me or whether it be with a different team within the BHF. That's what we're here for, to make sure that they're part of that great, amazing, you know, network of supporters that we have.
So let's reflect on working from home for a moment. Is that, at your stage of the game, is that a desirable situation?
Yeah, I mean, I love working from home. Again, it is just to have that sort of not having to commute into London, but especially based in Surrey, a lot of jobs are commuter based in terms of going into London every day. I like not having to do that, but I like the freedom in terms of going out and meeting people. If I was based in an office, I think there's less freedom. You'd be interrupting people coming and going all the time. So yeah, to be able to be based at home really gives you that independence to kind of crack on and get the work done that you need to do.
Tell us about the dog.
Oh, our dog is, yeah, I love our dog. Working from home definitely has its benefits from having that. So she, I mean, it's all about heart health as well. At the same time, I get out of the house because I have to walk her twice a day. She's a rescue from Greece, and we recently found out that she's 87.5% English setter, and the rest is a little bit of unknown, but she's gorgeous, loves a cuddle.
Shall we have a little bit of the old tea break music while we raise a mug of Susie Builders or two?
Yeah, why not?
A little bit of tea break music. We'll take a break for your chosen diamond of the day in a little while. But I wondered if, while everybody's reasonably relaxed with the weight off our feet, we might turn to some of the practicalities. What are the contact details you might offer our listeners now, and that we might include in any publicity we give you over the next 10 days for this drive for collectors at Priory Farm?
Yeah, so they can get me in a number of different ways. So my email is coulterm, C-O-U-L-T-E-R-M, at bhf.org.uk. You can give me a ring or send me a text. My number is 07384 253765. You can find me on Twitter at Millie Coulter, and you can also find me on Facebook as well. I'm Millie Coulter Heart. If you just do a search for that, I should come up. But any way that you'd like to get in touch, then feel free.
I'm going to ask you to do those again, because they'll all have been madly scrambling for their pen and paper. So from the top, take it away.
Okay, so email is coulterm, C-O-U-L-T-E-R-M, at bhf.org.uk. Phone number is 07384 253765. Twitter is at Millie Coulter, and you can find me on Facebook by just doing a search for Millie Coulter Heart.
That's brilliant. And let's just stress once more, and we'll do it a fourth time in the final segment of the show, that the initial requirement is for volunteer collectors at a long day on Saturday the 1st of December at the plant side of Priory Farm in South Nutfield. How might those shifts be split up, Millie?
So they can, we're really flexible. We're looking for people to really do an hour, a couple of hours, or however long they want. So they can do the whole day if they really want to. They could do a whole afternoon, a whole morning, but really as however much they like. We're really flexible and just looking for people to get involved, really.
Okay, and Christmas trees on the side, of course. You threw me a little bit of a curveball with the dog, because I hadn't realised when we were talking just before the last break that the dog and your fur baby, as referred to in social media, are one and the same thing. I was thinking cuddly toys.
No. My dog is my fur baby. She's
That's the
like
stuff.
A little child.
At central office in London, do you get up there much?
Yes, I do. I'm up there maybe once every couple of months, once a month. We have meetings and things up there, but it's really nice to see everybody else, obviously, when you're home-based. So
you must be very glad just not to have to commute.
Yeah, it's just the trains I'm avoiding, to be quite honest.
In terms of getting around and about and seeing people, you must drive a fair distance.
Yeah, fair distance. obviously I cover Surrey. In my previous job, I covered the whole of the southeast, so this feels quite manageable in a lot more ways. But I'm more than happy to go out and see people. I know it's a lot easier for me to get out there than it is for other people to meet halfway or whatever. So as long as they can recommend a good coffee shop, then that's absolutely fine.
Well, that's the stuff. I mean, this is a really impertinent question, but since we're new mates, you and me, is the petrol, is the fuel salaried, or is that on expenses?
We get a car allowance, so that's sort of all sorted. So yeah,
it's always very interesting how big organisations vary in their approach to that sort of thing. Okay, well, we've got about 50 seconds now to talk about you and music. Any current favourites?
I like a little bit of everything, and this song choice might actually surprise everybody. But
okay, well, Susie 103.4 is very much, as I always say at the top of this show, about the soundtrack to all our lives, and we do play music from the 50s right up to the current chart, which means that we are covering the entire spread of the national charts, which started in 1952 as a top 12. Tell us about the song very briefly that you've chosen.
So I wanted something with heart in the title, obviously, and it felt quite relevant.
So we've got Elton John and Kiki Dee on Susie 103.4. Millie, tell me about the hashtag that you use, which is nearly Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Yeah, so we use Beat Heartbreak Forever because that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that families are together for longer and that we do eventually find, you know, really good treatments and cures for these conditions.
Let's have it one more time, please.
So it's hashtag Beat Heartbreak Forever.
Beat Heartbreak Forever. Isn't that absolutely brilliant? Millie, what have we left out, do you think?
I don't think we've left anything out so much. It's more just a reiteration of the fact that we're really open to hearing how people would like to get involved. So all those contact details that I gave out before, I'd love to hear from you if you've got an idea for any fundraising or idea for how you'd like to volunteer. Or if you work for a company who would like to choose us as their charity of the year, then we'd be really, really happy to hear from you all. As I said, we're really open and really flexible to hearing from anybody and everyone, really. The other thing that I should really mention, obviously I did touch on it briefly earlier, we do have lots and lots of shops across the UK. We're always looking for stock generation for those shops, and so you can call up your local shop and drop it in, or drop it in whenever. And they also do free furniture collections as well. So if you've got an old sofa or bookcase or something that you want to get rid of and you want someone to come pick it up for free, the BHF will do that for you. So that's another great service in the community as well.
Now, speaking from personal experience, there are one or two caveats about quality of furniture, are there not? And also things like fire safety certificates.
Yes, so fire safety certificates is the main thing, particularly for things like sofas. So you will notice on your sofa cushions they'll have a label in terms of how it's been tested, etc., and they have to still be intact for us to be able to take it. It's purely for the safety of the person who then purchases it later.
Are you aware of any BHF shops reasonably locally? Or
yes, so there's one in Redhill, there's one in Reigate, there's one in Hawley, there's two in Crawley, a furniture and electrical, and a what we call a standard store, which is fashion, books, the sort of more standard. And across Surrey, there's loads. So Epsom has one, and yeah, everywhere. So if you could look up on the website, there is, you can do a little store locator. But if you haven't seen your BHF shop, then definitely find it. They usually have some really, really good bargains.
And do you think it's worth, perhaps in terms of donating, is it worth calling in first and having a chat with store managers?
Not always. Just dropping off bits and pieces that you've got. I mean, we do provide bags, like donation bags that they can fill up and then return back to store, but equally we will accept donations in any form. So yeah, feel free to drop it in if you're having a bit of a clear out, either before or after Christmas. It's always gratefully received.
As an employee of the BHF, Millie, do you are you aware of perhaps looking after yourself a little bit more, a little bit better than you might do otherwise?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, we do get communications come out, and on our sort of what we call our intranet, we get it sort of how to live healthy. The BHF are great champions of sort of encouraging us all to take exercise, to eat healthily, and you are more aware in terms of your heart health and how it has an impact, probably more so than before. The other thing that I'm also aware of is where sort of local defibs and CPR is as well. So that's another sort of really key thing to what the BHF does, is encouraging people to take up CPR if they can, in terms of skills. And when you work for the BHF, you start to notice public access defibrillators all over the place.
Which is a very good thing, and also to know how to learn them and do a bit of basic CPR as well, I'm sure. Well, we're coming towards the end, but very quickly, let's just remind the good people that you're looking for volunteer collectors on Saturday week, the 1st of December, in shifts at Priory Farm's plant side. And very quickly, your own contact details.
My own contact details. So my email address is coulterm, so that's coulterm at bhf.org.uk.
And the mobile?
Mobile is 07384 253 765.
We wish you well in your continuing endeavours and your career, and congratulations on your marriage earlier in the year.
Thank you.
Millie Coulter from the British Heart Foundation, thank you so much for coming and sprinkling a bit of pre-Christmas glitter on today's afternoon stroll.
Thank you for having us.